This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Midnight, one more night without sleeping. Watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping?
There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door.
Not once tried to tell them I've been there. Door slammed, hospitality's thin there. Wonder just what's going on in there.
Oh yeah, what's going on inside the green door? That's Jim Lall doing that one. You old-timers remember that one? I do. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, who, by the way, gets all of these great tunes. He pulls them up. I call him out. He pulls them up, or he pulls one up that he thinks is a good one for us. Always thank him for that. And we thank you for joining us on this Monday, July the 20th. Wow. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Weifeng Zhang. He is from George Mason University's Mercatus Center. And we're going to talk about the U.S. crackdown on China following its crackdown on Hong Kong. Will that sanctioning that we're doing right now regarding all of that's going to help? Or is it going to hurt the quest for freedom there? So we'll talk with Weifeng about that. Stay tuned. And President Trump gets on Fox News Sunday yesterday with Chris Wallace. Took the whole hour to talk with him. Did the interview help or hurt President Trump? Did you watch it? We're going to talk about it with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew, the master barber himself. So stay tuned for that. And conservative commentator Ben Shapiro. He's come out with a new book, but he says the ongoing riots may portend an end to our constitutional system, much like the French Revolution did in France around 1800. So we're going to talk about all of that. And in our ultimate top 10, you know, with all the virus going on, let's take a look. What are the top 10 states that apparently have the fewest cases? Do you know what they are? Well, we're going to tell you, so stay tuned for that. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you go there. That's as simple as that. Great haircut, great price, cleanest place I've ever been in for a haircut. They're located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. You got to call first, 727-733-3773. By the way, I want to salute Good Morning America. Isn't that a great show? It really gets you going. It gets your energy level up. Paul and Tracy do a wonderful job. Is that what? I'm sorry, Ed.
Good Morning Clearwater.
What did I say?
America.
Well,
America.
Good Morning Clearwater. Good Morning America. Good Morning Tampa Bay. I like Good Morning Clearwater. You're right. Thank you. I apologize. Good Morning Clearwater. Although people outside of Clearwater listen, they can listen anywhere in the world, actually, to them on the Tantalk Network. Anyway, they do a wonderful show, and they do it Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. That I got right, Paul and Tracy. All right. Well, new poll, right? And the latest is from Fox News. The coronavirus definitely playing a factor, but Biden leads Donald Trump by 8 points in the latest Fox News poll for the race for president. The virus is also, by the way, the top issue for these people that were polled. Over half of them disapprove of how Trump's handling the virus. and they increasingly trust Joe Biden to do a better job on the virus. Now, tell me why. Because what did Trump do that would discourage them? He's there for any help any state wants. Yeah, he talks a lot about masks, no masks, and this and that. But when it comes to doing the things at the governor's request, he's been there. So I don't know what they're worried about or why they're upset with Donald Trump on that. And it's the governors that make the decisions. No matter what anybody tells you, the governors are the ones that have the authority to decide what to do with businesses and masks and social distancing and all of that. Those are things that each state contends with. Anyway, Biden leads by 8 points. Let's see. Neither candidate got 50% support for being president. 49-41 was the actual tally. And the race is narrowing a little bit. Now, we know and knew that that would occur. The race always gets closer as you get closer to an election. These numbers right now, because people don't pay attention, they really don't. Think about all the things they got on their mind. The virus and all the things that they're trying to do, keeping their jobs right now, right? Getting money. Their kids, whether or not their kids are going to be in school. So all of these numbers right now are going to change, and I think change drastically. Here's an interesting statistic, however. Whites with a college degree and without a degree, white people, go for Trump. College degree plus 3, without a degree plus 9. He's also the choice among white evangelicals, plus 43. He is the choice among rural voters, plus 9. He is the choice among seniors, but not very much, plus 1. However, that's a big turnaround because last month, seniors went for Biden. Now, that's interesting. Now, all of a sudden, seniors are going by 1 for Trump, or basically that's going to be a tie. But Biden is preferred over Trump among the so-called extremely motivated voters, plus 8. Also, those extremely likely to vote, plus 9. And those who feel it is extremely important their candidate wins, plus 13. These are all from the Fox News poll. However, the number of Biden supporters who are extremely likely to vote drops 25 points if the virus is hitting so hard in November as to, for instance, close restaurants. So, the Biden supporters, if the virus is still going on, apparently around November, are going to be less likely to show up. Well, maybe it's because they're huddled in their houses. But because the drop-off would just be 16 points among Trump supporters. So the drop-off is bigger if the virus is still running things. The drop-off is bigger among Democrats than among Republicans. So there you go. But again, all these numbers are going to change. We're going to talk a little bit later with the master barber, Andrew Sorese, about that. And by the way, we're also going to talk with him about this hour-long interview that Donald Trump did on Fox News with Chris Wallace. I found it to be very interesting. Anyway, right now we're going to concentrate on what is going on with the Chinese and Hong Kong. Don't they have enough trouble with the virus? Well, they're going after the people in Hong Kong as well. So we're going to take a little break. When we come back, Wai Fang Zong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. and then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities, the best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday morning and delighted to have Weifeng Song join us. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. And we're going to talk a little bit about the crackdown by the Trump administration on China's government because of their crackdown on Hong Kong. Weifeng, welcome to Freedom Works.
Thank you for having me, Paul, and good morning to you in the Sunshine State.
Yes, thank you very much. We, you know, this is extremely interesting to me because you said, and let me say some of the quote some of the things that you have said in your piece. You you said that China's tightening grip on Hong Kong is a long time coming. It's inconceivable that they would not expect sanctions from America, yet they plow ahead. And then you say something's rather distressing. We are all but guaranteed that more and more conflicts like this from China in other places like Xinjiang and Taiwan. So despite what's going on with this virus, and despite all the world attention on China for kind of letting this thing get out, they still are proceeding. Why wouldn't they kind of hold back a little bit when all of the all of the finger pointing is going on?
So on the coronavirus, I think what we do see now is that China has been able to sort of shift away from curbing the virus to some of the agenda items they have been pursuing for the last few years, because in large part, that the virus, the spread of the virus had largely been under control, except quite recently there was a resurgence of cases in Beijing. But that, even that, has now been getting better. And when I said that all these aggressive actions are a long time coming, it's because basically since about 2 years ago, a group of researchers in which I'm in have developed a bunch of artificial intelligence programs to try to monitor Chinese propaganda, and then based just on the words in the propaganda machine put out by the Chinese government to predict, you know, what's going on that they're not telling us or what they would do next. And so what we have seen in the past 2 years is that China has been taking a more and more aggressive position, not only on domestic issues, but also on foreign affairs, including, for example, not backing down on the so-called structural issues that the U.S. negotiators were raising in the trade during the Great War, and so also including the more hardline positions on places like Hong Kong, Taiwan, and Xinjiang as well. And so all this is a long time coming, and the fact that now they have been able to get over the virus sooner means that now they can do those things that they have been trying to do for the past few years.
Yeah. Now, do you trust them to give us correct, honest information about how they're handling the pandemic in China? I mean, first of all, I would think China would have more cases than anybody else. Is there something they're doing right that is making that not the case?
So that's a great question. In fact, that's one of the programs we recently developed to monitor propaganda and try to see whether, to what extent they have been not truthful in terms of the coronavirus cases. And because, so the reason, the rationale behind this is that it's easier for the Chinese government to lie about the numbers, because you just lied about the numbers, right? You put out fake statistics. But still, the government had to address this huge public health crisis in the national media every day. And so from there, it turns out that the words they use speak louder than the numbers. And what we found is that although the pandemic sort of hit plateau in February in China, it since then it declined much more slowly than the official numbers were letting on. But so even based on that propaganda measures that we come up with, still now it's much better than it used to be a few months
ago. Okay, so they are getting a handle on it.
Correct.
Okay. Well, what is their... By the way, we're talking with Weifeng Zhang. He is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center, George Mason University. He's an expert on what is going on, and they use predictors to predict what's going on with China, although I would find them very unpredictable. What is their ultimate end game, Weifeng? What is it that President Xi is trying to accomplish? I mean, they have had their eyes, for instance, focused on the South China Sea and Taiwan forever. I mean, ever since the end of World War II. And people say, well, they really want to take over the world. But do they really want to do something like that? Do they want to have a world domination? Or do they just want in their sphere, in Asian areas, to control that? Do you have any sense of that?
So that's, it's hard to say what exactly the motivation is inside the mind of President Xi Jinping. But I think what is unfolding in front of eyes, though, is a drastic formation of a U.S.-China rivalry in which countries, including China, are not going just for the wealth, but also for the power. In fact, in international relations literature, you know, the trade-off between wealth, you know, getting economically speaking better off versus getting more powerful on the international stage has long been a... This is a trade-off that has been around since forever, right? So we know that states, they not only just pursue economic interests, but also they want geopolitical power. And I think what recent years have shown us is that China is quite motivated in terms of the power, just as much as perhaps on the wealth.
Mm-hmm. So are these sanctions by the Trump administration, are they going to have any effect regarding Hong Kong?
So in terms of deterrence, I think it will be weak. Deterrent in the sense that in the future, they're not going to mess with Hong Kong as much as they did. Because I think they knew that they would face these kind of sanctions going in. It might have some effect in terms of punishing those who actually were involved in curbing Hong Kong's freedom. So, I mean, financially speaking, for example, now the U.S. would have the abilities to sanction financial institutions that were directly helping those who were crushing Hong Kong's freedom. But that's unlikely to deter the Chinese government from tightening the grip on Hong Kong.
Okay. I mean, everybody knew when Britain handed over Hong Kong or released its grip some years back, everybody knew that nationalist China had their eyes on that. And yet at the same time, they realize, hey, you know, this place, it works. They're a free market shining star. But I guess that's not necessarily what the Chinese, you know, in mainland China want. Is that right?
Yeah, I think in terms of the degree of economic freedom, so that's setting aside political freedom that they still are not getting in Hong Kong. In terms of economic freedom, Hong Kong has been doing quite well, actually, until these past few years. And that's in large part because previous administrations of the Chinese government are more sort of disciplined in terms of not messing with the, the affairs in Hong Kong that much. But since President Xi Jinping took office, this went south quite fast.
So, again, President Xi, does he represent, I mean, is he, in terms of his, say, comparison to some of the leaders that have come and gone since Mao Zedong, does he represent kind of a stronger return to the, I don't know, to the clampdown that Mao himself, you know, administered at the beginning, in comparison to some of the people that have gone before him?
Yeah, I would agree with that statement, but I think in fact the left turn, so to speak, if we are if we describe the left as in more aggressive domestically and internationally, I think it started more on the former president Hu Jintao's administration, in which case he actually rolled out something called Harmonious Society Agenda in 2004, which basically says, you know, all these pro-market reforms we did before, you know, during Deng Xiaoping and Jiang Zemin's time, they were all great, but, you know, we should emphasize that we have a lot of social problems and the government is here to help, so we are stepping in. State-owned enterprises, they're really not that bad, so we shouldn't rush privatizing them. So all of that actually came way before President Xi Jinping's time. And, the, you know, the interesting thing about Chinese slogan is that whatever they say is whatever they don't have, they want to have, right? So the fact that they are saying harmonious society is because they didn't have a harmonious society, and they want to use state power to make it harmonious.
So Hong Kong has, you know, the protests that occurred last year and kind of resulted in the crackdown that they are now seeing. And then we have sanctions. And I think, you know, we have sanctions. And the people that are going to be most hurt are probably the free marketeers trying to run businesses in Hong Kong to some extent, you know, with the crackdown. But, I mean, is there any hope for those people in Hong Kong, or is it just a matter of absolutely no, you know, that they will be swallowed up and therefore they're productivity and all the things that they do well are going to be stifled?
Well, I do hope that that would not happen, but I think I'm not very optimistic in terms of you know, Hong Kong coming back in the degree of freedom that they used to have. But I mean, of course, in politics things can change very quickly, and as we know, you know, Hong Kong is going to have this legislative council election in September. And it seems that people are voicing their support for pro-democracy candidates in the, you know, in these months.
Will those be honest elections? Will those be honest elections?
Yeah. So there are a certain number of seats in the council that are like real elections, in which case, you know, pro-Beijing and pro-democracy voters, they just cast their vote and whoever gets more wins. But there are a significant fraction of the seats that are determined by those functional districts. So, for example, among restaurants, you can elect a certain number of candidates. And so not all the people in Hong Kong could vote for those predetermined functional seats. But for the rest of them, they do have the right to vote.
Final question. That female immunologist, whose name escapes me, and has been making the rounds on the different media, and talks about how China stifled information about the virus and how you still can't trust what they're saying and doing in China. I guess, you know, this is a courageous thing for her to do. Is this going to play well for economic things that are going on with China? It would seem to me that a lot of countries, you know, are having second thoughts about about China at this time? I mean, they're in a bad they're in a bad light, needless to say. But is this going to affect economics in general? Is China going to just continue on because they've, you know what I mean? They've been doing, you know, the engine is just too big to worry about all of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I think this is a great question because I think a lot would depend on what the U.S. Comes up with, U.S. government comes up with in terms of China policies together with its allies. Because I think in the age we're in which the U.S.-China rivalry is intensifying, places that used to be in the middle will have to pick sides, right? So apparently China is choosing to tighten the grip on Hong Kong, and it seems that some elites in Hong Kong have already taken the Chinese side. And there are other places that will, I think, be the center of contention in the future, including Taiwan and the Xinjiang province where the Uyghur population is. And, you know, some other countries seem to be taking side. Iran seems to be picking the side with China. India seems to be poised to have a better relation with the U.S. So I think a lot will change in the next, many years to come, when this rivalry intensifies.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in terms of policy making, we don't know nearly enough about what's going on in China than the knowledge that's needed to make good policy. Because engaging with China used to be just in the time when China was not a threat, but in fact now it's becoming a threat to Western countries, most importantly to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is actually why I make that artificial intelligence program, which we call the Policy Change Index, which is to see whether we can crack and window into these otherwise very closed systems so that policymakers can look inside and see what's going on and make better policy.
Well, Wai Fang, it's just terrific to talk with you, and such an intriguing thing that you do. I mean, it's so, I think people, in the government of China, it's so inscrutable, so hard to figure out, and so it's great to have you on and talking about all of this. I hope down the road we'll have a chance to talk again.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul.
It's our pleasure. Absolutely our pleasure. Thank you. Wai Fang Zong, Mercatus Center at George Mason University. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, President Trump doing an interview with Chris Wallace, a full hour-long interview yesterday. Did it help or hurt? We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole to find out what he thinks all about it.
Like I remember you. You used to laugh at me. And holler, woo, woo, woo. I used to walk you home. I used to hold your hand.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Ed, I don't know if you saw this. This is kind of scary. Did you hear about this FedEx guy? He posed as a FedEx driver, and he killed this judge's son and shot this judge's husband, and she had something to do with the Jeffrey Epstein case. Did you hear about that? It was on the web here.
I thought it was UPS driver.
Well, it says FedEx here.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it this morning. Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Strange.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Wow. I wonder if that's going to intimidate this Ghislaine Maxwell situation, the woman that was friends with Epstein, and they got...
But I can't imagine Hillary in a FedEx uniform.
That's pretty good.
Did you see Hillary behind the wheel of a FedEx truck?
There was an old...
I got a delivery here.
There was an old woman, and...
That's her?
No. But I think that Andrew might remember, and she would do this delivery truck thing, and she was also doing another Where's the Beef commercial.
Oh, the old lady from Wendy's.
Yes. Yeah. And they had her as a delivery truck driver in some commercial, and it was so good. Anyway, we got to talk with our buddy Andrew, the Master Barber. He's getting impatient. And you know where he is, Ed? He's over at Trump headquarters. I believe it's in Palm Harbor on US 19. Andrew, are you there?
Paul, I am here right now, Paul. And let me tell you something. We're getting prepared for this election, buddy. We're getting prepared. There's no question about it, you know?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, in a little bit, I'm going to let you talk with Ron over here. He's the big kahuna, Ron Ogden.
Okay.
And, I'm going to let you ask him a couple of questions and what we got to offer over here, you know?
I'd like to do that very much. In the meantime, wanted to ask you about Donald Trump. He did an interview on Fox News with Chris Wallace yesterday. Did you have an opportunity to...
You know, Paul, on this one, I was just talking with Ron about it. And I said, you know, Paul's going to ask me about this. Unfortunately, I was trimming palm trees yesterday.
Oh,
so, you know,
you're busy working.
Ron Ogden is up on this one, and he's going to talk with you about it. How's that?
That sounds good. Let's ask Ron Ogden, who's over there at Trump headquarters in Palm Harbor. Ron, good morning.
Hey, Paul.
How are you,
good
sir?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. And
good.
I hope you're doing well. We're going to talk a little bit about what you're doing there. I just wanted initially to get a thought on the... on the interview with Chris Wallace. Now, Chris Wallace, although he's on Fox News, I tend to think he's probably a little bit on the liberal side. And he was going...
Yeah, I tend to agree.
Yeah, he was going after Trump a little bit. Did you watch any of the interview?
I watched some of it after the fact. I saw probably about 15, 20 minutes of it streaming online after the fact. And as always, the president was straightforward, honest, plain-spoken. He took it right to Chris Wallace.
He did.
Made his case. And whenever, you know, Chris Wallace tried to zing him, he went back to his usual attitude, which is transparent, open, and declarative.
Yeah.
He let America know what he thinks. And that's Donald Trump's great attribute, as far as I'm concerned, is his transparency. There's no fooling around. You know what he thinks. Whether you agree or not, that's up to you. But you can't accuse Donald Trump of prevaricating or trying to play false with anybody. He tells you what he thinks, and that's wonderful in the president of the United States.
I think he's the most interesting interview of a president when it comes to all presidents in recent time.
He is.
Of any. I mean, everybody wants to listen to him, no matter how they feel about him, because he's got such a strong personality, and you know he's going to look you right in the eye, and he's going to say a bunch of things, and I mean, it makes great theater, right?
It's straight from the shoulder. It's honest in that, you know, that people come away feeling as if, either way, whether you like it or not, you know what the story is. There's
Indeed.
No fooling around with Donald Trump.
So tell me a little bit, Ron, about your situation there with Trump headquarters.
Well, this is, just to make clear, this is not actually Trump headquarters per se. Obviously, we are strongly in support of the president, but this is actually a campaign headquarters for the north part of Pinellas County to support Republicans up and down the ballot in the primary, which comes up in about 3 weeks or so, and then again in the general election. We are an independent group. We are working very, very closely, of course, with the Pinellas GOP, the executive committee here in Pinellas County. But we're backing our candidates, and we've got some excellent candidates at every level for the people of Pinellas County.
Okay. Now, how do you think, you know, Pinellas County is a good harbinger of who's going to win in the November elections when it comes?
I couldn't agree more. When we started doing this, I made the case to friends of mine in the Republican Party here in the county that Trump won't win America without winning Florida. He won't win Florida without winning the Bay Area. And he won't win the Bay Area without winning Pinellas County and North Pinellas County.
Yeah, I think you're right.
We're the heartland here in Pinellas County from all about East Bay North or maybe Almerton North. You know, south of there, things are a little shaky.
Are they?
But in the north part of the county, we are going to come out solidly Republican.
So North Pinellas is more conservative, in your opinion, than the southern portion, which, by the way, includes St. Petersburg.
Well, St. Petersburg, you know, and the folks down there, you know how St. Petersburg has gone in the past 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They're the heart of conservatism in Pinellas County. The bedrock is the northern part of the county, and we're very pleased to do what we can to encourage the support for our Republican candidates. We've got a lot of them.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I give you a list?
No, I was just that was my next question. Let's talk a little bit about some of those candidates. You go right ahead.
Well, let's start off, of course, with the president whose election, or his re-election, is absolutely vital. Then we have one of the finest congressmen that we've ever had in this area, Gus Bilirakis. He's beloved on both sides of the aisle in Washington, D.C. He's been called the most personable man in the Washington, D.C. He helps everybody, even the Democrats, like Gus Bilirakis, and he deserves to be re-elected. One of our highlights, our real highlight, of course, is Chris Sprouls, who served the north part of the county for the past 6 years. Upon his reelection this November, he will be the Speaker of the Florida House of Representatives. It's essential that we get Chris reelected because it'll be present us with a uniquely beneficial situation in the north part of the county. As you know, the governor has roots in Dunedin.
Yeah, Ron DeSantis does indeed, yes.
Yep, and Chris is here in Palm Harbor. So the two most powerful politicians in the state will be North Pinellas County folks. And on down the list, we have Chris Latvala and Jamie Grant, who need to be reelected to the Florida House. We've got two excellent candidates to help us bring the Pinellas County Commission away from the progressive Democrats. We've got Tammy Vasquez running in District 3, and we've got Larry Ahern running in District 1. We've got Stephanie Meyer, a superb young candidate for our Pinellas County School Board, who I encourage everybody to look very closely at. She's a teacher and just a good woman all the way around. She'll make a great school board candidate. Among our constitutional officers, we have Charles W. Thomas. We also have Mike Twitty, our property appraiser. But most importantly, we have Julie Marcus, who is in the crucial job of our supervisor of elections. She's a veteran of the office, and upon Deb Clark's retirement a couple months ago, she stepped into that office, and for the sake of an honest ballot and a well-run ballot and an honest election that you can trust, we need to have Julie Marcus as our supervisor of elections. I hope I've gotten just about everybody.
I think, yeah, but how about the Charlie Crist situation?
Crist situation, of course. There are a few precincts in the 13th Congressional District that do come up to north part of Pinellas County. We've got some superb candidates. It's kind of interesting to take them in order. Let's try to do it alphabetically. George Buck, a veteran and a firefighter who ran against Charlie 2 years ago and did well. And then we have Sheila Griffin, who's a wonderful woman, a lawyer, and a preacher. She makes an excellent candidate. We have Amanda Mackey. Well, I got her out of order. That's okay. Amanda Mackey, mm-hmm. who is probably leading the money race. Anna Paulina Luna, who is also a very, very attractive candidate and is working hard and is a pro-Trump conservative and makes that case. And also Sharon Newby, who is a longtime resident of the Clearwater Largo area. It's just a wonderful woman. She was just visiting with us here over the last week, and just a very, very impressive candidate.
Ron, what is your sense right now with the, you know, with the, all of the, you know, the protests, and we have the pandemic? I mean, these are things that nobody, you know, a few months ago would have even, you
nobody
know,
would have
nobody.
I thought about it at all.
Trump was rolling along, but do you think this pandemic could possibly really take its toll on him?
I don't think, to tell you the truth, the pandemic is going to have as big an influence on this election as the Democrats hope that it will. And I'll tell you why. When you boil it right down to facts, despite the scare tactics in the media, every noontime, every at 6 o'clock every evening, they put the slides up with the number of cases and the number of deaths. It's still a small, small fraction of our population is being seriously affected by this disease. I believe that our governor and our president have done a very good job in an extraordinarily difficult situation. And I deserve that it speaks well. And you know the nice thing about Donald Trump? We got to remember what he believes in. He believes in government closer to the people, just like our governor does, just like all Republicans do. We here in Pinellas County have done a good job. Our sheriff, Bob Gualtieri, has done a very, very good job with this. And I believe the situation, when you get to the ballot box, the people, you know, who don't like to get interviewed and don't like to be on TV and things like that, but who know what the truth is, are going to say, you know what, Donald Trump needs to be reelected. He's done too good a job for us. He has been a very effective president, and he's done some wonderful things for the United States of America that we need to talk about.
So these polls, and unfortunately for Donald Trump, every one of them, you know, the big ones, are saying right now that Biden's got anywhere from an 8 to 12 point lead, you know, approximately. So these polls are not indicative right now, or they are indicative now but won't be indicative in November?
I'll make 2 points. The first is, of course, what happened in 2016 when the progressives and the intelligentsia and the media elites laughed and laughed and laughed about Donald Trump and woke up the next morning crying in their beer
right,
because he had been elected. And the second point is, polls, like any other kind of exercise in scientific application of statistics, you can design a poll to get the results that you want to get. And right now they're trying to, in my opinion, pump up a poor candidate, Joe Biden, trying to get people to think that Joe Biden has got it in a walk away, which would drive the Republican vote, you know, away from the polls. And I think that it's up to people like, well, you know, Andrew, me, you know, all of the good Republicans here in Pinellas County, to make sure that you get out to vote, get your neighbor out to vote for Republican candidates. And on that basis, I think the president will win.
Well, Ron Ogden, thank you very much. And I know your buddy there, Andrew, I mean, you couldn't have a more energetic kind of guy at your side to be doing this.
Andrew is just the epitome of energy. Let me put you back with him.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much, Ron.
How'd you like that interview today, Paul, huh?
He's so well-spoken, and he knows what he's talking about. I can see why he's such a positive force for getting Republicans elected.
I've been influencing him since I know him, Paul. I've been influencing him.
Yes, I know you have. That's it, I'm sure. Absolutely. It's a total changeover for Ron, because once you got hold of him, Andrew. So, Andrew, you didn't watch the interview, but I just want to get a quick thought from you here as we finish. Do you feel that Donald Trump is still on the right course? Do you think he's handling this virus as best he can? And
Paul, this virus, just like Ron said, people are living their everyday lives, Paul. They're getting fed up with it. The Democrats are just trying to hurt our economy and get people fed back. You know what? People are fed up with what's going on, Paul. I don't think it's going to affect Trump at all. You know, it's like Ron was saying, it all depends how you take these polls. You want to come in my barbershop this week, I'm going to take a poll all week long, and I'm going to let you know the end results maybe on Friday. And we'll see how many points Biden is ahead.
Now, that would be interesting. By the way, I do have to come in. I need a haircut, so I probably will come in probably towards Friday or something like that. But
you got it,
yeah.
Buddy.
Well, Andrew, it is always a pleasure, a delight to talk with Ron Ogden. Keep up the good work.
Great. And I'm quite sure you'll be hearing a lot more from Ron, too, because he's up on up and what's going on in North Pinellas over here, and I want to be up on his radio station,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, We'll make a point of having him on.
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, Andrew. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Paul. Take care.
All right. There he goes. The master barber himself, Andrew Ceresi. All right. Going to take our final break when we come back. When we come back, Ben Shapiro, conservative commentator. The ongoing riots may portend an end to our constitutional system of government.
Come on, let's go.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back. Delighted to be here. Thank you very much for joining us. We're, by the way, here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. Well, I was watching a show that I highly commend to you, Life, Liberty, and Levin. It's on every Sunday. I think it's on Saturdays as well. Then they repeat it on Sundays. But Levin, Mark Levin, spends an entire hour with a guest. And so you really get an opportunity to get into a good discussion, you know. It reminds me of some of those things that were going on years ago where television would allow that kind of thing. You don't see as much of it where you get a full hour, you know, with one guest. He had Ben Shapiro on, and if you know anything about Shapiro, you know that he is a political conservative and a commentator. He's come out with a book. Let me see if I can find the name of it here. Anyway, it talks about how the United States and what is going on right now with all of the unrest resembles the French Revolution. Now, the French Revolution led to the downfall of the system of the king and the queen in France, and brought on Napoleon. So the entire system of government changed. And he thinks, Mark Shapiro thinks, that we might be into that right now. He says, the fact is, what we have seen over the last several weeks, full flowering of an ideology of disintegration that has been running roughshod over our universities, our media, our major cultural institutions for years. And by the way, his book is How to Destroy America in 3 Easy Steps. So very interesting discussion. Highly commend the book. All right, it is time for our top 10. And I think this one is pretty interesting. I don't know that people really know, with all of the info going on, what are the top 10 states with the least number of virus cases? Let's see if Ed will know what number one is. So this comes from Well, I'm not sure where it comes from. Oh, Forbes magazine, I guess, was one of the... But it's up to date. It's as of July 19th, Ed.
Yeah.
All right? So here we go. This is based on cases now. The top 10 states with the least number of COVID-19 cases. Number 10. San Diego. Oh, San Diego. I got SD down here. Yes, San Diego. South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is close to San Diego.
It is, isn't it? Yes. Same weather.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So it's South Dakota, 7,862 cases. Number 9, New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. New Hampshire. They have 6,188 cases. It's a small state, so it's South Dakota. Number 8, North Dakota. I'm surprised I didn't say Notre Dame.
Mm.
See, I put down just the initials.
Which is near San Diego.
It's near San Diego. It's near North Dakota. Right. North Dakota is 8 with 5,019. Number 7, West Virginia. West Virginia. I guess maybe coal mining helps you. 4,922 cases. Number 6, we're back to the Northeast. Maine. You ever been to Maine, Ed?
No.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah,
state.
I want to see that.
Got to go.
I want to see it when the trees change.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's the time to go. 3,646 cases in Maine. Number 5, Wyoming. I know. I'm sorry. I'm having a bad day with top 10s. Montana.
Ah, that was my choice.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That would have been a good choice.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, how many people are in Montana?
12.
There are more cattle. Yeah. Montana has 2,471. Do you notice that so far all of the states are cold states?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we thought the warm states would you know, kill the virus.
Well, because they wanted people to shelter indoors, you know, in February, March, April, May, it's, you know, it's still kind of cold up there.
Okay. Number 4. Now it's Wyoming. It's the same thing as Montana, 2,108 cases only. All right, number 3. Alaska.
Mm.
Why am I not surprised? See, all of these are cold.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Maybe it's cold that kills it.
And then when they are out, they got gloves and stuff on anyway.
Yeah,
you know?
Maybe you're right.
Yeah.
But in July?
Well, yeah.
But you know what?
Now,
it was a little colder back a few months ago. Okay. Anyway, 1,795. Number 2, Vermont. Still up there in the colder area. 1,338. Okay, Ed.
I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
Oh.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
The Badger State.
Still for the cold weather.
You really think that's it? You really think it's Wisconsin?
Maybe.
What do you mean, maybe?
Well, ducks out, take a jab because they're all cold states.
Now, I would have done something like that as well. But wait, no. No, it's not a cold state. It's Hawaii.
Hawaii, really?
Hawaii has the fewest. 1,245 cases. Now tell me, why is it we have 9 cold states and then one beautiful, warm, you know, state as our... Of course, it's out there as an island.
Yeah.
And they're not letting that many people on the island right now.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think that's part of it.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you very much. We're going to be back tomorrow on Freedom Works. Remember this. Stay safe. And bye for now.
Did he hard? Did he find? Yes, he's got himself a girl, and I wanna make her mine. And she's watching him with those eyes, and she's loving him with that.